Today's shir is Masechta Gittin Daf Nun Ches. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis, the last words of the Amud. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabba Babachana Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Abayim saw 40 saw Ktsutze Tfilin of boxes of Tfilin, Nimtsu Barosh Haruge Beter, were found in the heads of the Haruge Beter. Rabbi Yana Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shalish Kupais, there were three boxes full of these tefillin. Shalabam Abam saw. Each box had in it 40 saw. Masnisatana, in the Brisa we learned, there were Abam Kupis, there were 40 boxes, Shalish Shalish Sawin, that every one of the boxes had in it 3 saw. So both of these last two opinions agreed that we had 120 saw of tefillin. V'loy pligi, says the Gemara, it's not different than what we started with Rabbi Yochanan saying there were 40 saw of tefillin, about the tefillin, the heads of the Haruge Beter. V'loy pligi, all of these opinions don't disagree. Habadresha, the Braisa and Rabbi Yana are talking about tefillin shoroish, which are typically larger. For her, and Rabbi Yochanan was speaking about the tefillin shayad, which are typically smaller than the tefillin shorosh, and that's why they found a smaller amount. According to him, there was a smaller amount than the other ones. Rashi explains that the boxes of tefillin shorosh are larger than the boxes of tefillin shayad because the tefillin shorosh have in them 4 compartments. For each one of the 4 parshiyos that have to be in those 4 boxes. Whereas the tefillin shayad only has 1 box in which all 4 parshiyos are placed. So when Rabbi Babachana said there were 40 saw boxes that were found, he was referring to tefillin shayad. And the Braisa, which says that there were 120 saw boxes, was referring to the larger boxes, the tefillin shorosh. That's the way Rashi, and that's the way we learned the Gemara. The Mashah, the Ramshif, however, learns the Gemara different. The Mashah, Ramshif actually asks a question. He says, how could Rav Babachana say that he was giving a measure of tefillin shayad that were found, then when he says explicitly that the tefillin that were found were on the heads of the people? Also asked Rishash, that it's difficult to accept that the boxes of the tefillin shel roish were 200% larger than tefillin shel yad boxes. Yes, Rashi just finished explaining, says the Rishash, that the boxes of the tefillin shel roish are typically bigger than the boxes of the tefillin shel yad, but he finds it difficult to say that they're so much bigger. So therefore, the Vilna Gaon gives a different pshat than our Gemara. He explains that there were some victims who were wearing only the tefillin shayad. Because, as we know, the halacha is that you put on the tefillin shayad before you put on the tefillin shorosh, but you take off the tefillin shorosh before you take off the tefillin shayad. So there were 3 groups of people, says the Gra, there were 3 groups of people that were wearing tefillin. There were those that were wearing only the shayad. There were those that were wearing the shayad and the shalrosh. And there were those that were in the process of removing the tefillin and removed the tefillin shalrosh, but not yet the tefillin shayad. So says the Gra, Rabbi Babachanu said that 40 saw tefillin were found on the heads of the victims, was talking about the tefillin shalrosh. The Braisa, which says that there were 120 saw boxes, were referring to the tefillin shayad found on the victims. Because, as we just learned, if you have 3 groups, they're more likely that people will be wearing just the tefillin shayad. All the groups will be wearing the tefillin shayad, but only 1 group will be wearing also the tefillin shorosh. So what the Gemara means to say is that statistically, you're going to be having more people wearing the tefillin shayad, and that's why you had so much more. That's what the Gemara means to say. You had so much more tefillin shayad available than tefillin shorosh. Says the Gemara, Amar of Asi, Aborim kav moyach. There were 40 kavim of the brains of people of Yisrael who were killed. Nimtzal anachas were found on one stone. Ulamar, Ula says the amount was tisha kavim. He says there were 9 kav found on one stone. Amar of Kana vitem rav Shela, vitem sholim by Mari Mikrop. Where do we find in the pasuk that the Bavloim went after the heads of Klal Yisrael and left them on one stone by the Churban Abayis? Says the Gemara, the pasuk says, Bas Bavol Hashduda Ashrei She Shalmach Es Gemulei Shagamat Alonu. David HaMelech is cursing. David HaMelech is cursing the Bnei Bavol that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should punish them and pay them back for what they did. Somebody who will take your young children and destroy them should be punished in the same way that you punished us by punishing us by putting out tefillin on these stones, as we just learned. B'nei Tzion HaYikarim, continues the Gemara, the pasuk says, B'nei Tzion HaYikarim HaMesuloyim B'poz. Ilayim Badava Machbib Fiza doesn't mean that these people, Paz means gold. And the question that the Gemara is posing is the significance of what Klal Yisrael is, that they were wearing gold jewelry. Ilayim Machbib Fiza is the significance because they were wearing jewel. Vama Debe Rab Shmir, Tati Maskli Istri Fiza Nochs Ba'alma, 2 weights of this expensive gold, I presume platinum, came to the world. Chad b'Roimi, 1 is found in Rome, half of it is found in Rome, v'chad b'kol alma, and the rest is in the rest of the world. So it's hard to explain, says the Gemara, that most of Klal Yisrael that had the gold. Ella, show you, meganim es apaz b'yofyam. Their beauty was so great that it was... They were so much more beautiful than the most beautiful gold. Mikarach Shiva the Rami says the Gemara, before the Churban, the important people of Rome, of Anakta Balyani the Gushbanka, they would hold gold rings on Misham Sharasayu, and that's how they would have relations. Mikav Elach, to look at something beautiful as they were having relations, as we often learn by looking at somebody beautiful when you have relations, that will influence how the child that's born from those relations will look. B'kavelech, however, says after the Churban, Maisa b'nei Yisrael, they would bring Jewish children, v'amri v'asri b'kara de parayu, and they would tie those Jewish beautiful Jewish children to the bed, to the legs of their bed, mishamshi, and that's how they would have relations. And again, as we just said, that was the image that they wanted to have as they were having relations. Amlei chad lechavrei, one Jew said to another Jew, ha'hechik siva, where do we have this terrible punishment mentioned in the Torah? Amalei, so he said, the pasuk says in Parshat Kisavai in the Teichacha, Gam kol choyli v'kol makva shloi kosu b'tsefer Torah hazeh, yalam Hashem alach ad Hashem matcha. The Torah refers to such a horrible punishment and the Torah doesn't even want to explicitly mention this horrible punishment. It's to be understood. Then he asked him another question. Kamer machikna v'dich plan. What? How far am I away? I was learning Chumash, he was saying, but I haven't gotten to this pasuk. How far am I away from that pasuk? Amalei ingit. It's not a long amount. Pusta palga, a page and a half. Amalei, so the person who would ask the question said to him, imatoy legaboy, if I myself had gotten to that pasuk and learnt it, I wouldn't need you to tell me that that's the pshat in the pasuk. I myself would have understood that that's the pshat in the pasuk. Amar Yudah Mishmul Mishim Rav Shimon Ben Gamliel. Ma'idik Siv, the pasuk says in Eicha, Einei Olo Nafshi Mikol Benais Iri. My eyes look horrible because I was left alone. So he says that Rav Shimon Gamliel learned this pasuk, and he said that this pasuk actually refers to he himself, that he himself was the only one from all the children who was left over from Beter in the time of the Churban. And explains the Gemara, Abba Ma'is Batik Nesiyas Haibakrach Beter, there are 400 shuls in Beter, Abba Kalachas V'achas, and each one of those shuls, Hoya Abba Ma'is Melamli Tanaikas, there were 400 teachers of children, teachers of Torah, V'kol Achas V'achod, every one of these teachers, Hoya Lefon of Abba Ma'is Tanaikas Beis Rabbim, had 400 children learning by him. So I saw that the Ian Yaakov asked the question, how could the Gemara here suggest that every Rebbe had 400 Talmidim? The Gemara Masechta Baba Basra, Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, teaches us that there should only be 25 students in a classroom. And it's difficult to accept that that things were different. The Gemara is forever. And moreover, it's difficult to explain that was the reason that they were punished, because they had so many students in the class. So he said that the Yavit says that when the Gemara says that they had 400 Talmidim, what the Gemara means to say is that over the course of the career of every one of these Rebbes, they had 400 Talmidim learning. But it doesn't mean that each Rebbe had 400 Talmidim. Rather, what it means is that over the course of his career, he had that many Talmidim. Another pshat that the Ben Yoyada tries to suggest is that each Rebbe had assistants. And since he had assistants, he was able to teach such a large group of students. Ukshaya Ayiv Nichnas Lasham, when the enemy entered Beitar, Hayodokin HaShebachatreyim, they were hitting them with the sticks, Shigova Ayiv Lochtam, and when the enemy ultimately prevailed, Karchem B'Sefreyim, they were bound in their Sfarim, Betzisim Be'esh, and that's how they were fired. That's how they were burnt. So the Gemara Tana Rabbana Masa Rabbi Shuba Chananya, Shaholach L'Krak Kodlash B'Raymi, he once went to a large city in Rome, Amrloi, and he was told, Tinnik Eichid Yeshu Be'es Asurim, there's a young child in prison, Yifei Einayim V'Toyv Roi, he's a very good-looking child. The Kvutsoiso Sedurus Leitotalim, his hair is very well kept. Halach v'Amal Pesach Pesach Asurim. So he went and stood by the entrance of the prison. Amar Minoson, he said, he quoted the pasuk in Yeshaya, that the pasuk says, Minoson l'mashisa Yaakov v'Yisrael l'voizazim. What caused that Klai Yisrael should be so downtrodden? Anay Satinik v'Amar, The pasuk continues, Haloi Hashem Hazu Chatanu Loi, because we sinned against Hashem. V'loyava b'drach ha'halach, we didn't follow His ways. V'loyshamu b'tayrasai, we did not follow the ways of the Torah. Omar, Sir Yeshua B'Chananya, heard the response of this child. Omar Maftonach Boy, I am certain that Shemaira Rabbi Yisrael, he will be a great leader in Yisrael. So the Mefarshim asked, what was the great wisdom that he saw in this Talmud? So one shot that I saw from the Chidah is we've quoted many times that the halacha is that we say Kimlei B'Drabbanei. And Kimlei B'Drabbanei means that we don't give Malkus and Mammon, that we don't give two punishments for one Aveira. And here, the question that he asked them was, why were Klal Yisrael punished that they were hit physically, and that they also have to pay? So the child answered, Haloi Hashem Chatanoloi, we sinned against Hashem, and also our parents sinned against Hashem. So the two punishments are one for our sins and one for the sins of our parents. Another pshat that Ben Yoyada explains, that the punishments that we get from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, a person does an Aveira, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes him, so he should have a kapara. And there's some punishments that a person is not given, that it should encourage him to do the right thing. It's a punishment because he's done the wrong thing, but it's not here to improve him. What is the difference? A punishment that's given for kaparas avoinus, we could daven, and through tefillah, we could take away those punishments. But if a person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chas V'Sholem, decided that this person is a Rasha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to listen to his tefillah. As the Pasuk says, V'chara api boy b'yoy mahu, V'starti panei mehem v'hayu l'echol. So that's what Rabbi Shmuel ben Chananya meant to ask. Why? He asked, what we're suffering terrible punishments. And his question was, why? How do we define these punishments? Are we to understand the punishment is because it's for kaparas avinus? Or is it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is already saying that these people are Rishoyim? So he was answered, and he answered, Zu, he said that the Shekhinah above us brought the punishment, and since it's brought by the Shekhinah, we could always do tshuva. Another pshat that I saw is that we know that Yisrael and Yaakov, the two names are of Yaakov Avinu, represent two levels. Yisrael is a higher level, and Yaakov is a lower level. And the question that he asked was, in this pasuk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the pasuk uses both names, Yisrael and Yaakov. But as we just said, those two names are different levels of Kedusha. So how did the pasuk use two different names? And the answer that he gave him was, it depends on the person. Some people were doing the Avera on a much higher level. They were doing the Avera just because they were doing an Avera, but they're not that they were bad. They were the Yisrael. And another group was doing the Avera because they were Yaakov on a much lower level. Along the same line, I saw from the Sefer Siach Sarfei Kodesh, he brings from the Peshischa Rebbe, that the main Avera in those times, that everybody wanted to behave not according to their level. In other words, he says everybody is on a certain level, and according to the level on which you are on, that's the level that you should be doing Avodas Hashem. That means, he says, you could have a poor person, and you could have a wealthy person. A poor person who doesn't have the ability to give tzedakah and chesed should be learning Torah. He can't do chesed. And if a person is, Baruch Hashem, a wealthy person, he should concentrate on giving tzedakah. And what happened in those days was that everybody tried to act not according to what is expected of him. Everybody tried to behave not according to what was expected of him. And that's what he said. And that was the question that was asked. And what he answered was, Haloi Hashem Zuch Atonaloi. The Avera was that you, Rabbi Yehoshua B'Chananya, are a rich person. And why are you concentrating on tefillah? What you're supposed to concentrate is on helping out other people. Omar, so when he heard this intelligent answer, he said, Miftani Ba'i Shemara Rabbi Yisrael. He will certainly be a leader of Pi Paisik. Havoida, and therefore he made a shvua, Sheni Zozmikan, that I will not move from here. Achef, then I become Mom and Shepaisik Nolav. I'm going to spend as much money as it takes to redeem him. Amru, and says the Gemara, indeed, Rabbi Shua B'Chananya did not move, Achapada B'Mam and Harbe, until he redeemed him for a lot of money. So, of course, the question is that we just learned on Daf Mem Hey, Ain't Paidin as a Shvuyim, Yoisa Kadei Demeim. We're not allowed to redeem somebody who was kidnapped more than their value. So, how do we understand this Gemara? So Taisa says that one Teretz Taisa says is that this person is a Muflik B'Chochma. He was a big time chacham, and these rules don't apply to very big Talmid chachamim. The Ger Shirachim says that what the Gemara doesn't mean to say is that they paid more than he was worth. As the Gemara said, that we're not allowed to spend more than we're worth. But if we have a group of people who were kidnapped, who was the first one that we should kidnap? And he's ransom. And the first one to ransom is the Talmud Chacham. So what he meant to say was that the first person that was ransomed was the Talmud Chacham. Another pshat is that indeed, what is the kedei the name of a Talmud Chacham? We said that we're only allowed to pay what is the value of that person. But what is the value of a Talmud Chacham? The value of a Talmud Chacham is incalculable. We can't figure out how much that is. And that's why he was allowed to spend all that money. And indeed, says the Gemara, v'lai yomi ma'otem, it didn't take a long time, at shahayra hayra b'Yisrael, that this young boy became a great leader at Pesach and Klal Yisrael, Omanu, and who is it? Says the Gemara, it's Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. So, I saw that that's pshat in this whole Gemara. The Gemara is telling us that he saw he was so smart. And once he saw that he's so smart, we have Tosfos Teretz says that somebody who's very smart, a great leader, we could spend so much. So I saw the Mefarshim ask, yes, we saw Chochmah by this child that he was able to explain the Pasuk. Does that represent that he was such a huge Chacham? So I saw the Mefarshim explain that that's exactly what the Gemara means to say. What the Gemara means to say is that the time of the Churban was such a difficult time in the history of Klal Yisrael that to find a child that was able to answer just pshat in one pasuk, that was in that time such a great thing because there was nobody else who was able to do so. I saw Ramey Shapiro explains this Gemara, and he explains that the question that Yeshua had was, how does it come that a young child should end up in jail? He says, and that was the question that he asked this young child, how does it come that you, a young boy, are ending up in jail? He said, and the child answered, indeed, it's not my fault. The fault is our parents. If parents, that as the Pasuk said, as we quoted the Pasuk, he said that the parents, he said if the parents are not prepared to give their children the proper chinuch, then that's what's going to end up happening. And what he was trying to say to him was that we need to have parents, we need to have people who will give their children the proper chinuch. When he heard the child say that, and he recognized, and the child recognizing that what's most important in the Klal Yisrael is the chinuch that we gave our children, then he said, then you will indeed be the person who will be a leader of Klal Yisrael. Says the Gemara, Amar Yudam Arav, Masav Abnoi B'Bitashay Rishma Ben Elisha. There was an episode with the son and daughter of Rishma Ben Elisha, Shenishbil Shnei Adoinim. They were kidnapped by two non-Jewish people, Liyam and Zdav Gishneim, and then these two people meet, B'Makamechen, in a certain place. Ze Aymer, one of them says, Yeshli Eved, I have a servant, She'en Ki Yofya B'Chol Oilam. Nobody is as beautiful as this boy. And the other one says, "Yeshli shivcha, I have a maid. Shame b'chol olam kulak yafya, that nobody in the world is as beautiful as her." Amru. So they said, "Bav nasim zelaze, let's marry them off to each other. When the chalak bevladusam, we'll be able to divide the children." Hichnasim lecheder, and they brought them into a room. Zeh yosh b'kerazav zeh. One sat in one corner. The boy was sitting in one corner. And Vizu Yashua Karen Zavazu, and the girl was sitting in the other corner. Ze Oimer, the son of Yishmael Kohen Gadol said, Ani Kohen ben Kohanim Gedolim. I am the son of Kohanim Gedolim. Eisel Shivcha, I will marry a maid, Zois Emeris, And the girl was saying, "Ani kahanes bas kohanim gedolim. I come from this distinguished lineage. Esel eved, ubacha kol alayla." And that's how they were sitting all night crying. Kimish olam odashachar. Once the day broke, hikiru zezeh. They recognized each other. V'nafel zezeh, and they fell on each other's shoulders. V'gav v'chia, and they were crying so hard. Atchiyatsu nishmasam, until they passed away. V'aleim koinem Yirmiya. Regarding these people, does Yirmiya say, al elani b'chia, enei yarde mayim? So the pre-art explains that the boy and girl in this Gemara were people who came to high level of Kedusha. He says, what's pshat? He says, the lesson of this Gemara, and the lesson of the previous Gemara, is that if we want to have children that will be like the children that we just learned of Rabbi Shmuel, if we want to have children that will end up like we learned in the previous piece of Gemara, being Mayra Hirab Yisrael, the way we can end up having these type of children is the chinuch that we give them. And therefore, all these children were given these type of chinuch, and that's why they ended up in this level. Says the Gemara, Shlokish Mas Bishachas, there was an episode with one woman, Utsafas Bas Peniel Shema. Her name was Safas Bas Peniel. Tzofin, why did she have that name? Tzofin is called Tzofin B'yofya. Everybody looked at how beautiful she was. Bas Peniel, Bitoy Shekoin Godel. She was the daughter of the Koin Godel. Shemesh Lefnei Lefnim. They went into the Lefnei Lefnim. And Dayan Yaakov explains that the Gemara is actually explaining why she ended up being punished. Because Tzofin, everybody looked at her. And a Jewish girl, as we know the Pasuk says, Kol Kvuda Bas Melech Pnima, is supposed to act in a very discreet fashion. And because she caused that people should look at her, that's why she was punished. And the Ben Yoyada on the same line says that what is the special quality of the Kohen Gadol? We know that the Kohen Gadol enters the Kodesh HaKadoshim once a year on Yom Kippur. The Kodesh HaKadoshim is the most secluded place in our religion. Only once a year does the Kohen Gadol enter there. And she, who was out there in the public, people looking at her, did not follow the way of her forefathers. Nispal by Shabbai Kalalaila, and the kidnapper molested her all night. Lemachar, the next day, Helbisha Sheva Chalukim, he put on her seven garments, Vetzir Lemachra, and he wanted to sell her as a maid. Ba Adam Echad Shayi Mechuba B'yaisa. There was an individual who was most repulsive. Amalai Harani Es Yofya. He said to the captor, show me how beautiful she is. Amalai Reka. He said to him, you simple person. Imat Aroitza Loikach. If you want to marry, take her, kach. She'ein b'yafshu b'kalayim kuloi. I can attest that there's no one more beautiful than her. Amloi af became. Still, I want to see her. Hafshita shushim chalukim. The captor took off from her seven of the garments. The shivi kara from the spal shbeifa. And the seventh garment, she herself ripped and rolled in the earth. Amr lefonav. If you don't have Rachmanos on us, look at the Chil Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to her, Ima Noichi B'tzara, Alayach, Alive, alayich, ba'ashaydin. We both have been molested. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav. Ma'adik siv, the Pasuk says, Amicha, Vashka gever, ubeisa v'ishna chalasai. Says the Gemara, the way to understand it is, Ma'isav adam echad shenasa ein abeishas rabbi. There was a person who wanted to have his employer's wife. For sure you didn't Nagra Hava. This person wasn't a Talmud, wasn't studying Torah, he was studying carpentry. Pamachas Hutzach Lilvois. One time the employer needed to borrow money. Amalai Shkar Eshtach Etzli, send your wife to me, Valvena, and I'll lend her the money. Shiga Ishta Etzli, and he sent his wife. Vishah Ima Shloshiyamim, and he held her for 3 days. Kadam Abai Etzli, and now the Talmud comes, the employee comes to the employer, and the employer asks him, Ishta Shishigarti Lach, my wife who I sent to you, Hechenhi, where is she? She hasn't come home in all of these days. Amrloi, Anipa Terilata. He says, I gave her the money and sent her home immediately. However, so where is she? So he says, I heard the Shemati Shinas Tinoikis Nisallah Babderach, that the little children, the young men, have molested her. Amrloi Ma Esa. So he says, what should I do? Amrloi. So he tells him, Imata Shemela Tzossi, if you listen to my advice, Gersha, divorce her. Amala, but the employer says, Ksubasa Maruba, the amount of Ksuba I would have to pay is very significant. And as we see from here, explained the Paiskim, that, and it's, the Rashba says this, the one may not divorce his wife unless he has the financial means to marry off, to pay off the ksuba. That, as we've learned so many times, that the purpose that Chazal instituted the ksuba was a deterrent, that a person should not be able to just quickly divorce his wife. He has to recognize he's going to have to pay her ksuba. And therefore, the way this deterrent is accomplished is by indeed not allowing them to get divorced until he pays off the ksuba, until he has the ksuba and he pays it off. And he says, I don't have it. Amalei, so the Talmud says, Adni alvecha, I'll lend it to you. But ten labu ksuba, so pay off the ksuba. Amidzeh, so that's what he did. Gersha, he divorced her. Halachu, and the Talmud now went for Nasa and married her. Kivin shegiyaz manai, the time to pay off what he had borrowed came for loy haylo laparoi, and he didn't have the means to pay him off. Amalei bai vasiv mechayvach. He says, if you don't have the ability to pay off, so it says you should work for me. That, and in fact, the Rosh in the Tshuva writes that even if somebody owes somebody else money, the halacha teaches us that one is not allowed to take that person as an eved to pay off his chayv. Of course, there's an obligation to pay off your debts. But as much as there's an obligation to pay off your debt, you're not allowed to take them for an eved, but of course they violated it. And the Talmud tells to his Rebbe, Ba'as save me v'chayvach, come work for me. V'ayoheim, the Talmud and this person's former wife, Yoshev v'ayichem v'shayisim, was sitting and eating and drinking. V'hu ayoheim v'mashkaleim, and the Rebbe was standing there pouring for them. And he was crying, and the tears fell into the cup of this Talmud and his former wife. Says the Gemara, that was the moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that the Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed. There were two men that have relations with one woman. They were violated the Isser of Eishes Ish. That was what caused the Aveira. So we learned in the Mishnah the concept of Sakrikin. The concept of Sakrikin, as we learned in the Mishnah, was that there were people who people gave them their property because they were frightened what they could do for them. And the Mishnah taught us that if somebody bought a property from the Sakrikin and then he bought it back from the original owner, the transaction is null and void. Amar Rav, to which Rav says, this halacha that we just learned, lo shana da amaloi, le chazik v'kni. When the owner told him that go buy it, that means that he never intended to sell him the field. That what he meant to say was to this potential buyer, go buy the field. Why did he say to this potential buyer, go buy the field? Because he recognized that he wants to get back his field.
and he recognizes that it's unlikely that he will be able to get back the field from the Sakrikin. But he sees here that there's a Ben Yisrael who wants to buy that property. Mm-hmm. So he says to him, from him I'll be able to get it back. Aval, if the owner of the field wrote in a document, Bishtar, Kone, buy the field, so that means he was serious about the sale, and therefore the sale would stand. Shmuel Amar, Af Bishtar, Nami Leikana, even if the real owner wrote a document, that doesn't mean that he meant it should become the property of the buyer. As we often discuss in our shiurim, a shtar that the person takes on financial liability, puts a mortgage, a lien on his property, that is only proof that that he was serious about this transaction. And the way many Rishonim explain this Gemara, it's a Gemara that we often have in Shas, and that is the concept of a Achrayus Tosefer. If a Achrayus was not put into a shtar, do we assume it was just an error, or do we assume that it was deliberate? Rav's opinion is that a Achrayus Tosefer, the fact that a Achrayus wasn't put into the shtar, it's just a mistake. It doesn't mean that it shouldn't have been there. And therefore, Rav's opinion is that the Achrayus that's missing in the shtar doesn't mean that there wasn't an Achrayus. It goes automatic. And since it comes automatic, Rav's opinion is that the shtar is a proof that the Jewish owner was serious about this transaction. Shmuel holds, no, Achrayus lav tos sefer. If Achrayus was omitted from a shtar, we say it was deliberate. So if there's a shtar, says Shmuel, that doesn't have a Achrayus in it, that shows that it's not a serious transaction. And therefore, since it shows that it's not a serious transaction, that's why the transaction is null and void, only if there's a Achrayus in it. Tanika Vasa de Shmuel says the word the Braisa supports Shmuel's position, because the Braisa says of Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Lokach min Isha, if a person bought a property from a wife, as we often say, anyone who's married, any Jew who's married, has a lien on his property. That's the ksuba that a husband owes to his wife. And if a person wants to buy the property without any lien on it, she does a transaction with the wife. He tells her, I'm buying off that this, you should have no lien on this property. So he teaches us that if he bought the property from the wife, that she should not have a right to collect from it haksuba, the chazav the lakach minish, and then he bought the actual property from the husband, mechakaim, it's a valid transaction. But if he did it in the reversed order, minish, when he first bought it from the husband, the chazav the lakach minish, and then he bought it from the wife, the lacha is mechabatel, it's not a valid transaction, achatichtalay achrayas. So we see, unless the wife puts a chrayis into the shtar, then and only then is it considered a serious transaction. Like Shmuel said, says the Gemara, Naimitavit to Yufta the Rav, shouldn't this clearly be a refutation of Rav's pshat? The Rav did not require the chrayis. Says the Gemara, Amalach Rav, my, a chrayis na mishtar, like we just learned a moment ago. Rav's opinion is that every shtar automatically comes with a chrayis. And since every shtar automatically comes with a chrayis, it doesn't have to be written in. Masechta Baba Basra, there's a perek of Cheskes Abatim. The perek of Cheskes Abatim says that if you are on a property for 3 years, it shows that you are the owner of the property. In other words, to explain that a little better, the Chazaka requires that somebody comes and is on a property, and somebody else comes and says, well, this property that you're sitting on belongs to me. So he says, no, I bought it from you. So he says, so show me the documentation. So he says, I don't have room to save the documentation. So the halacha is that if the buyer or this person was on this property for 3 years and the supposed seller never said anything, that's a proof that indeed he is the true owner of this property. Tana Barim. So says the Gemara, Lokach Menasakrikim, if somebody bought a property from the Krikim, And he was on the property for 3 years with the real owner's knowledge. And then this person sells this property to someone else. The owner cannot make any claim to the buyer. Because since this person was on the property for 3 years and he didn't say anything to him, that's a proof that he's the full owner of this property and he can't make any claims to this buyer. Going back to what we learned in the Mishnah, that the halacha is that if you buy a property from a sakrikin, you have to give a quarter. What a quarter means, we'll learn later in our shir. He doesn't have a claim for that revi. Says the Gemara. Exactly what is the case here? Asked the Gemara. Hey, dummy, exactly what happened here? Either katan v'ama minach sovin, if we're going to say that the first person bought it directly from you and paid you what you're supposed to be paid, so then the question is, why did the Braisa have to come up with a story that the first person sold it to the second person? If the first person was on the property for 3 years, and now the real owner comes and says, how are you my property? And he says, well, I bought it from you, and I bought it from the Zakrik, and I gave you what you deserve. Then he should be able to prevail in that entire. The loika tanva amar, minach zavna, and if he isn't able to make that claim, I feel a shady namiloi. So then the second person, the fact that there was a chazaka, as we said earlier, a chazaka is inadequate without a proper taina accompanying it. Amar of sheshes, loilam the loika ton. He doesn't make this claim. However, kugoin zeh, in such a situation that we just described, that the first person was on it for 3 years, and the original owner said nothing, and then he sold it, there's certain situations where Bezdin stick up for the buyer. Tayanim l'yayrish, sometimes Bezdin sticks up for the Yairish and makes claims on their behalf, even though they didn't make the claim themselves. And Tayanim l'kayach. And this is a case that we claim for him as well. Vidach, regarding the first person, Iton in, if he makes the claim himself, it would be a great claim to win the Din Torah. However, Viloiton, if he doesn't make the claim himself, Loi, we don't make the claim for him. Tan Rabbanan, says the Gemara, Habo Machmas Choiv. If somebody came and took a property away from a Jew, because a non-Jew came and took a property away from a Jew because the Jew owed him money, or machmas aperioi, or a non-Jew forced a Jew to give up his property. Anybody, b'shem sakrikin. We've been learning, as we learned in the Mishnah, the halacha of a sakrikin, and by a sakrikin, the halacha is that if the property is in the hands of the buyer for 12 months, the halacha is that you have to give a quarter to the Jewish owner, and the property then belongs to the buyer. But if somebody buys a property from a non-Jew who received it because he forced the Jew to pay him off with that property, or because he extorted the property from the Jew, the halacha is that you have to give back the property to the original owner. And the halacha that you have to give back the property to the original owner is even if you are on the property for 12 months. Says the Gemara, Vamparis atzmai, when is it considered that a property is in the category of vampirus if it was in the hands of the buyer for 12 months? But ask the Gemara, Va'amrit ain't by Mishum Sakrikin. When does the 12 months make a difference? The 12 months make a difference if the property is in the category of being a Sakrikin. So since it's in the category of being a Sakrikin, so the Mishnah taught us, if you're going to be on the property for 12 months, then the halacha will be that the halacha of Sakrikin kicks in. But we just said that by Empirus, there is no such halacha. So if by Empirus, there is no such halacha, what are we talking about? Why is the 12 months a factor to discuss here at all? Says the Gemara, Hachkama. This is what the Gemara means to say. Sakrikin Atzman, that Ampyrus is never considered Sakrikin. But when we speak about Ampyrus, Sakrikin itself, that there we do have the halacha of the Mishnah, how long does the property have to be in the possession of the buyer that it should have the halacha of Sakrikin? It has to be in the possession of the buyer for 12 months. Amrav Yosef Naktinen, another halacha, he says, the halacha is that ain't Sakrikin v'bavel, that in Bavel there's no concept of Sakrikin. And the halacha is that if the Jew comes and says that this is my property, the halacha is that he has to give it back. Says the Gemara Chazina de Ika, Alayma ain't din Ampyrus b'bavel. The halacha of Ampyrus doesn't apply. My tama, why is that din? Says Markivin de Ika Beidavar. Since there is a municipality in all the city above all, v'loyasa kavel, and the Jew never went to complain and say that this property was extorted from me, the halacha is it's a proof Ayma chule achal. That's a proof that he gave it up. And since he gave it up, so the way the Rishonim explained, it's considered Yiyush. And since it's considered Yiyush, the halacha is that I don't have a right to complain, to get it back. The Gemara tells us that they used to take property tax. The way they used to take property tax was that there was a location. And in that location, there were a number of fields, and everybody who owned the field had to pay proportionally the property tax. But the government, when they collected the property tax, took one sum. And if one of the field owners didn't pay what he was supposed to pay, the government would take the amount from everybody. It wasn't their business. If somebody in this location didn't participate, there was a certain amount that had to be collected, and that was the amount that was given. So the Gemara begins to discuss that such a situation, that where there was somebody who owned the property in that location that didn't participate. Says the Gemara, Gidl by Reloi, Kibel Arab tax name Avga. Because he paid the tax for the entire location, he didn't do it for nothing. What he did was that he got the right to eat the fruit of that property. In other words, the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara was there was one of the owners of a field who wasn't here, and he wasn't participating in paying the tax. So what Gidl by Reloi did was, he said, I'll pay the tax that he has to pay, but for that, I'll get the right to eat the payers. Agdem v'yov zov the tlashanim. And he went and he gave the amount, he prepaid the taxes for 3 years. L'soif osa marvasa kamoi. Then the owner of these properties for which he paid the property tax showed up. V'amalai shata kamaisa diyav. For the first year that you paid the tax, achalt, you got to eat the payers. Hashta, but now that we've come back, Ananya Avinon, we'll pay the tax, Vananachlinon, and we'll eat the fruits of our property. Says the Gemara, Asal Kamei, the Rapapa, they brought this question to Rapapa. And he said, no, I already prepaid, and I should get the payers of 3 years. So they brought this question to Rapapa, Savala Michtalei Terfa Beibagba. He wanted a right to Gidlber Eloi, that he's entitled to get the fruit. Amalei Rafuna Beredu Shul Rapapa. Im Cain Asisa Sakrikin. If you're going to act that way, you're going to create a situation of Sakrikin. What have we been learning is the situation of Sakrikin? That you take away from somebody something that belongs to here. Here too, you're taking away something that belongs to them. What he was saying was that Gidlberry Lloyd did not have to prepay. And the fact that he prepaid, that was something that he didn't have to do. And why should they suffer? By doing this, what Gidl Reloi was, put his money on the head of a deer. What does it mean, the head of a deer? That we know that a deer runs very quickly. And if you put something on the head of a deer, it's most likely to fall off. And therefore, by you putting your money here, you put your money up for a loss. We learned in Mishnah Zurish, in Rishayna, Bezin Shachreim, Amar Lekech, Menasrikim, if you buy Shachrikim, Naisin Labal Raviyah. Amar Rav, so now as we said, there's a discussion here between Rav and Shmuel, how do we evaluate this Raviyah? Rav says, Raviyah Bekarka, that means you pay with a piece of property which is equivalent to a quarter of the money that you gave to the Sakrikin, or Raviyah Bemaz, or you give him a quarter of the amount of money that you gave to the Sakrikin. Meaning, if you gave the Sakrikin 100 zuz, you have to give the true owner 25 zuz, or property that's worth 25 zuz. The Shmuel, piece of property of this property that's worth 25 zuz. The Shmuel Merviya Mikarka Shen Shlish B'mayis. He says that if you pay the Sakrikin 100 zuz, you have to give him a 33 and a third, or property that's worth 33 in the third. Says the Gemara, what is the basis of their Machlokes? Maikamafki, Masover, Shmuel's opinion is, Nechi Ravin Sovin. When a Sakrikin takes a property, and he didn't pay for the property, so he sells it for a quarter less than it's truly worth. So if the Jew paid 100 zuz for that property, the property is really worth 133 and a third. And the Sakrikin discounted it that much, and that's why that's the amount that the Jew has to give to the Jewish owner. Umar Sover, and Rav's opinion is, Nechi Chamshe Zovin. A Sakrikin that sells a property for 100, that property is really worth 125. And therefore, you have to give the Jew 25. Meisvei, ask the Gemara a question on Shmuel's opinion. The Mishnah said that if you buy from a Sakrikin Mecha bottle, and the Mishnah said, Zu Mishnah Rishoina. However, Bezin Shalchreim Amru, Halakech Min HaSakrikin, Noisen LeBalim Revia, Yad Balim Alayoina. You have to give the Revia, as we're learning, to the owner, and the owner has the upper hand. What does that mean? Rotsu b'karka, if the true owner wants karka, neitlin, you have to give him karka. Rotsu b'mas, if they want cash, neitlin. Emesai, says the Gemara, when is that? The halacha, the zman she'en b'yadim likach, when the owner can't buy back his property. Aviyesh b'yadim likach, if they have the ability to buy back their property, hen kaidim l'kol adam. They'll give the person who purchased the property from the Sakrikin whatever he spent, and they'll take back the property. Says the Gemara, Rebbe Hoshe Bezdav and Nimnu, Shem Shasu B'fnei Sakrikim Shnei Esu Chaydish, but if it was by the Sakrikim for 12 months, then the original owner lose their right of first refusal. V'kala Kaidim Likach Zachar, Avnoisin L'Bal and Revi'a B'Karka, Revi'a B'Mos. So the Brice is clearly indicating that you give a Revi'a of the Mos, 25, not 33 and a third. So it's a question on Shmuel. Answers the Gemara, Amar Vashi Kitanya Hi, Lacha Hamas L'Yodai. What the Braisa means to say is that the owner receives a quarter of what the person paid for the field. So if he paid 133 from the field, 100 will go to the guy, and 33 and a third will go to the owner, which a 33 and a third is a quarter of the entire number of 133 and a third.